But please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew and the chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we'll read together from verse 25 to verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, and we're beginning our reading at verse 25. And the Word of God says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Amen. And we trust and pray that the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. One of the many blessings of knowing Jesus Christ as Savior is that we become a child of God. Often, however, we tend to focus upon the immediate effects of being saved, upon the benefits of being a believer, and also upon the future reward of heaven. And we forget that being God's child means that we have a heavenly Father now. He is, as the scripture reveals, God the Father. God the Father. Now, this relationship that we have with the first person of the Trinity is part of God's covenantal promise to the elect. We read of this in 2 Corinthians 6 and the verse 18, and there we read, "I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." And there is this covenant promise that reveals the relationship that we have with God, that of a father to his children. As God takes delight in us as his adopted children, he exercises his fatherly nature towards us. You see, the fact that in the gospel we become children of the Father, it reveals the unfathomable love of the Father towards us. And the Apostle John declared this in 1 John 3 and the verse 1, where he says, "Behold what manner of love, or what kind of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God." In eternity past, God the Father chose to redeem us. He sent forth his Son to accomplish that redemption by his perfect life and atoning death. And therefore, we become a child of the Father by embracing Jesus Christ. We become a child of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that means then, for the child of God, that in the same way that you can call Christ your Savior, so it is true also that you can call God the Father your Father. Turn with me for a moment to John 20 and the verse 17, and hear our Lord Jesus Christ confirms what I've just said, and his words are most comforting to us as the children of God. John 20 and the verse 17, Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, unto my God and your God. And that is most beautiful words, for Jesus Christ is saying that the one who is his Father is our Father. And he says, in effect, I am ascending to your Father, child of God. I am ascending to your God. You know, this means, therefore, that we are never left to fend for ourselves or to make our own way in life. We are never without love, comfort, sustenance, discipline, or protection. And the wonderful truth is that no man can pluck us out of the Father's hand. We are secure in the relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. But what does all of this mean for us? You see, the truth that we have a Heavenly Father, it has a bearing on how we handle anxiety. And that really is the context of Christ speaking of the Father here in Matthew chapter 6, because our Lord deals with this very issue of anxiety. And in addressing it, he points his hearers to God the Father. Now, isn't it true that anxiety is something that can spread within our hearts like wildfire? We all know it. When fear grips our hearts, when concern consumes our mind, it can so overcome us. And all of us in our own particular way face battles and trials and uncertainties on a daily basis. And how is the Christian to deal with all this? How is the child of God to handle their anxiety? And Christ reveals here that the knowledge of our Heavenly Father will bring that anxiety under control. It will give to us a proper perspective in our trials. It will cause us to see that while there are these anxieties, yet we are in the hands and in the care of our Heavenly Father. And so as the people of God, therefore, in days of difficulty and uncertainty, we have no cause, no reason to doubt our Heavenly Father. And all that thought would comfort your heart today. And all that all of us would be caused to take what Christ says to heart and be found trusting more and more in our Heavenly Father, and that our anxieties might be brought into that perspective. And so I want to consider with you trusting in your Heavenly Father. Trusting in your Heavenly Father. I want you to observe with me firstly that your Heavenly Father is all sufficient. Your Heavenly Father is all sufficient. We read in verse 26 of Matthew 6, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your Heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Christ's command is for us not to have any thought for our physical sustenance or life. Now, I hurry on to say that this is not forbidding stewardship in our life. Christ is not telling us here that we are to not have any concern for our life. We are not to make any preparations to provide for our physical needs. Christ is not telling us to be lazy here. Rather, we are to be good stewards of what God has given to us, and we are to make preparation for our physical needs. In Proverbs 24 and the verse 27, we read, prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. And so there is a principle here that a wise person will make the necessary preparations. They will exercise discernment and prepare for the future. But the Lord here says, take no thought. The word thought here, it means to be troubled with cares, to be anxious. It refers to an overabsorbance in one's own interests. And the very same word is used in reference to Martha, as she was cumbered about much serving. And we remember that story as she busied herself with serving. And Mary was there at the feet of Christ. And Martha pointed out that she was busy, engaged in serving, and Mary was doing nothing. And Christ said to her, thou art careful. Or that is, thou art anxious and troubled about many things. Now, her serving wasn't inherently wrong, but there were more needful things to occupy her mind. And Christ points to the all-sufficiency of the Father as the reason why we are not to be overcome with cares. And that is what he says in verse 26, your heavenly Father feedeth them. Your heavenly Father is sufficient to feed the birds who can do no preparation for themselves. He who is capable and sufficient to take care of the myriad number of animals in the world, who sufficiently meets their needs, he will do the same for his children. We need to learn, therefore, from the Father's provision for his creation, and realize that he will especially prove his sufficiency to us as his children. Now, as we think of this point on the Father's sufficiency, perhaps you have been caused to doubt this truth. But as a child of God, consider this. Consider the spiritual needs that we had as unconverted sinners. And they are many. We were lost and undone. We were heading towards a certain condemnation. And yet when we consider what God did in our lives, we recognize the all-sufficiency of the Father to abundantly pardon and justify us. And the Apostle Paul gloried in this in Ephesians chapter 1, where he speaks of God the Father blessing us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He further says that the Father has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that the Father has predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. And so think of that. The Father blesses, the Father chooses, the Father predestinates, the Father adopts. And all of these tremendous blessings came to us in our lost and undone condition when we could do nothing for ourselves. Do we then dishonor him by doubting his sufficiency now for our physical and spiritual needs? Do you see the point that I'm making here? If the Father has been sufficient to deliver our souls in sending Christ for us, in reconciling us through Christ, then what reason do we have to doubt him? That he would keep us, that he would sustain us, that he would bring us to himself. And the rebuke of Christ then comes with great conviction to our souls. O ye of little faith! And if we are honest, we all have to hang our heads in shame and say, yes, we are of little faith for the many times that we have doubted the sufficiency of our Heavenly Father. And we should take note of these words especially, for Christ spoke them. And the Son knows the Father perfectly. And if the Son is saying to us that our Heavenly Father is all-sufficient, then we can be absolutely certain that he is. Oh, out of his infinite goodness, your Heavenly Father gives good things to them that ask him. And I wonder, have you been asking? Oh, yes, you have many needs. We all do. But have you been fervent in prayer? Have you gone as a child to your father and asked for these things? God will not withhold any good thing that he has for his people. Well, yes, God may have brought trials into your life too, but it is for our good. But then I want you to observe, secondly, that your Heavenly Father is all compassionate. Your Heavenly Father is all compassionate. Look in verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now, I want you to take note of the manner in which the Father provides for the birds who cannot prepare for themselves. God's compassion is abundant to the animals and to the created universe as he upholds all things and governs all things. Isn't the compassion of the Father observed in providence? In the way that the Father governs and controls all things. And consider how beautiful the Father has made the creation. He hath clothed the vegetation with beauty, with color, and with order, greater even than all of Solomon's glory, as Christ says here. And that has flowed forth from the compassion of the Heavenly Father. And Christ exhorts us here to behold. He says, behold the lilies. Consider the lilies, how they grow. And in other words, Christ is telling us to turn our eyes away from our cares and our worries and to look at his handiwork, to look at what he has created, because it reveals the character of the Father. And the point is that we are the greatest of God's creation, the peak of all of his work as image bearers. Does that not again reveal the compassion of our Heavenly Father? Furthermore, we are new creatures in Christ. We have been born anew by the Spirit, and therefore our Heavenly Father treasures us above all that he has made. And think of that as well. We're not only creatures created by God, and therefore God has shown great compassion towards us, but we are new creatures in Christ. And Christ brings out this thought whenever he speaks to his disciples, and he's speaking of God's dealing with the creation and with the animals, and he says, are ye not much better than they? And the point is being made that as the Father deals in great compassion with creatures, then we as his newborn creatures in Christ, will we not experience that compassion? Christ's reasoning is that if the Father is so good and compassionate to his creation, then we can certainly expect the same and more from our Heavenly Father. You see, the Apostle Paul describes God the Father as the Father of mercies. And most of all, as we think of what the compassion of the Heavenly Father, and we think of his great grace, his great compassion, surely the most amazing manifestation of his compassion is that he loves us. And the Father loves us because we love the Son. If you turn with me to John 16 and the verse 27. John 16 and the verse 27. And if you love Jesus Christ today, and I trust that you do, then this verse has something to say to you regarding the Father's relationship to you. Because Christ says in John 16 and the verse 27, for the Father himself loveth you because ye have loved me. Surely they are words of promise and of great compassion and of love. Because you love his only begotten Son, the Father loves you. And therefore, those who love Christ can be absolutely sure of God the Father's love for them, of God the Father's compassion, of God the Father's mercy. Oh, how wonderful this is, that your Heavenly Father is not a tyrant. He is not a being that would crush us and would treat us unfairly and cruelly and would afflict us without a cause. And often those thoughts can be generated in our minds as we are under discipline. We can tend to think that our Father is not compassionate anymore towards us. And those thoughts can creep into our minds, and those thoughts must be corrected by what we find in the Word of God, because here Christ reveals to us that your Heavenly Father is all compassionate. But then thirdly and finally, I want you to observe that your Heavenly Father is all-knowing. Your Heavenly Father is all-knowing. Look in verse 31. And the Lord says, Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your Heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Notice those words, your Heavenly Father knoweth. It is often true to say that anxiety is caused by uncertainty. And we have all experienced that, not knowing what is going to happen. Whenever we look into the future, we worry about things that we have no control over. Having no knowledge of what is coming towards us makes us feel vulnerable and apprehensive. And certainly those feelings have been amplified over the past number of months in our lives, whenever the future was completely uncertain and anxiety has gripped our hearts because we do not know what is coming. And yet Christ makes it clear that this actually is for our benefit. Look in verse 34. He says, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And here we must bow before the wisdom of God. We must submit to his omniscience, because the Lord is aware of our frailty and our insufficiency. He knows our weaknesses, and he knows that it would be too much for us to foresee all that is coming. We all like to know what's going to happen in the future, don't we? And yet Christ is saying to us here, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There is enough to consume your mind with cares and worries in one day than knowing all that is coming in the future. And yet as the Lord says this, the reassurance comes to all of us who are in this ignorance, to all of us who don't know what will happen. Our Heavenly Father knoweth. Oh yes, we don't know, but our Heavenly Father knows. And how blessed this is. What a comforting thought that our Father is one who knows everything. Did we not frequently experience this as children? We experienced the limitations of our infant minds. We faced a dilemma and we didn't know what to do with it. And what was the first thought in our minds? Dad will know. I'll go to my father and he will be able to solve my problems. Dad knows how to fix it. And so we went to our father and we told him our need and we found that he could resolve it for us. And there was always that comforting thought in our minds, Dad is there. Dad can help us. And as we think about that, in many ways that is an illustration of this thought that, yes, we know so little. In fact, we know nothing of the future. And yet we have this comfort that our Heavenly Father, in whose care we are in, knows. You see, God the Father knows every need that we have and will not withhold anything that we need. If you look with me in the earlier in this chapter, Matthew 6 and the verse 8. Matthew 6 and the verse 8, and the Lord says, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your heavenly Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." And again, there's that phrase, your Father knoweth. Your Father knoweth. Oh yes, our knowledge is finite, but the Father's is infinite. God is omniscient. There is no past, present, or future for him. It is not that God the Father can look back, neither that he can look forward. He is from everlasting to everlasting. Everything that has, is, or will happen is present before the mind of God. And that is just absolutely incomprehensible to us because we are creatures of time. But you see, your Heavenly Father, it is not as though he has to look back in time or look ahead to the future. But all things are before him. His knowledge is infinite and present. And therefore he knows everything concerning your life, concerning your family, concerning your future. Whatever care that you have right now that is afflicting your soul, your Heavenly Father knows. Being in the care of the all-knowing Father, what does that mean for you and for me today? Well, it means this, that we can rest and be at peace in uncertainty. And isn't that what we so long for? To be calm, to not be rushing about and afflicted with all of these concerns. And to illustrate this thought, think of if you are going to go on a journey to a place that you didn't know. You didn't have a map. You didn't have GPS. You had no idea of how to get there. But you knew somebody who could accompany you, who knew exactly how to get to your destination. Would you be afraid to travel with that person? Would you be concerned that you wouldn't be able to make the destination just because you didn't know? Surely as you began your journey and you had no idea where you were going, yet would you be comforted by the thought, there with me is this person who knows, this person who is very familiar with the way forward and the direction to take, and you would be confident, you would be able to relax, even though you didn't know where you were, because you would have this certainty, I am in the care, I am being directed by someone who knows, and they will bring me to where the destination is. I know that is a poor illustration, but think with me on that point and think about your Heavenly Father. Because often we have all of this anxiety because we look at ourselves and we think, I don't know. I don't have enough strength. I don't have the capabilities of handling the future. And we look at ourselves and we begin to despair. And yet we need to look at our Heavenly Father. We need to look at the one who knows. And whenever we look at him and we consider him, all of our fears and concerns will dissipate. You see, our Heavenly Father has no insufficiencies. If you turn with me to Isaiah 40 in the verse 28 for a moment, we close on this thought because our insufficiencies are not a cause for concern. Because our Heavenly Father is all sufficient. Isaiah 40 and the verse 28. And Isaiah says, "Has thou not known, has thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding." And so there is revealed to us the Heavenly Father. He is the everlasting God. He is Jehovah. He is the Creator. There's not a moment where he's weary. There's never a time where he begins to faint under the load. Oh yes, that is the truth when it comes to us. We faint, we are weary, we are insufficient, but our Heavenly Father is never tired, never exhausted. It is impossible to investigate his intelligence and knowledge. There is no bounds to him. And the significance of that is this, as we look in the following verse, verse 29, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength." Oh, how wonderful this is. This is your Heavenly Father, the one who gives power, who gives might. And therefore, may God's word today encourage us to trust him all the more. And that is something that all of us as God's people need to take to our hearts and pray and desire earnestly. Oh God, help me to trust you more. And that we might cast our cares upon him. Oh yes, our burdens, our anxieties, they weigh us down so much. Oh, the word of God exhorts us, cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. And as we think about our Heavenly Father, who is all sufficient, who is all compassionate, who is all knowing, how wonderful it is to have such a Father. Oh, rejoice today. Lift up your heart in praise to him. Oh, may you be moved by the word of God today to lift up your hearts with joy and thankfulness and express your worship to God the Father. And in prayer, tell him how dependent you are upon him. Tell him how much you need him. And tell him how much you trust him. And you will find that your Heavenly Father is all that he has said he is. And you will find that you are upheld and kept by his almighty hand. May the Lord bless his word to your hearts today. Let's just close in prayer and thank the Lord for his word. Our gracious God, we do rejoice in what we have seen of our Heavenly Father. We do thank thee that Christ spoke these words in order that we might be comforted. And we ask, O Lord, that you will apply your word to our hearts now, that you will make it effectual by the work of the Spirit, or make us obedient, we pray. Lord, we ask that your word will bear fruit in our lives. O comfort those at this moment who are afflicted, who are tested, O Lord, who are surrounded by uncertainties. May your word indeed lift up their hearts. May, O Lord, we be ever more conscious of the Heavenly Father with us and of his presence day by day. O Lord, bless us now, we ask, and may we indeed be found ever rejoicing in the love and the sufficiency and the compassion and the omniscience of our Father. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.